Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
John Heyman, insider for Odyssey Sports and MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, co-host of the Big Time Baseball podcast.
From the championship team of 2016, was there anything you could have done to keep one or more of these guys?
It's a really hard time to try to sign guys to an extension. They were not in the mind space at that point.
Curb your enthusiasm, enthusiast.
You hate people.
Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I like the White Sox. You never know with the Cubs.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love to talk to our friend John Heyman. You see him on the MLB Network, and of course you read him in the New York Post. He is everywhere, and he joins us now on the Busey Bank Score Hotline. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
We're it's Memorial Day week, right? So you're kind of looking at your teams, and I think we're both looking at the standings, looking at each other, and thinking, my God, there's going to be a long summer.
Well, they're in some very bad divisions, so you got that going for you.
You sound like Rick Hahn.
Is that what he says? We're
basically
in a bad division?
He said July 4th is when you're going to look at it next.
Yeah.
Like, he just kind of pushed the date back. Okay.
Well, you can't blame him. I mean, when we talked about 2-3 weeks ago, they looked dead in the water. And, I mean, that division doesn't get any better. Detroit is a contender, for God's sake. So, I mean, why can't the White Sox be, I guess? I mean, they've certainly performed very poorly. But, crazier things have happened, I guess.
Well, John, it's been since 2014 since both teams in Chicago have been in fourth place or lower in their respective divisions. So this is one of those years. It feels like the unofficial start of summer is a threat to baseball fans in the city. Which team do you think is more likely to get out of the rut that they have dug for themselves?
Well, I think it's the Cubs. I mean, I think they still have a positive run differential. I think I kind of jinxed them a couple weeks ago by saying, professing great faith in them. And then I think they lost 4 or 5 in a row right after that. But I think this is a pretty good team. I mean, we saw Stroman, obviously Steele's been really good. I think they have a solid team. So I do feel better about their team. I mean, the White Sox, they just seem like classic underachievers to me.
Yeah, I mean, holy cow, there's so much there. Let's start with this, because I think this is the biggest story in Chicago. Liam Hendricks returning, despite stage 4 cancer. You know, the idea that you have a guy that went through what he went through, came back. His attitude is just extraordinary. He's an inspiration to people. And, it doesn't matter how he's doing, and he gave up a couple runs, but he pitched yesterday. And it's just a bigger-than-baseball story, John.
Yeah, absolutely. What a tremendous guy, and you're absolutely right about him being an inspiration, a fantastic attitude. I mean, even with stage 4 cancer, we didn't know it was stage 4 at the time. He did, but he kept throwing in spring training. I mean, I was there, and he was kind of throwing on the backfield. I didn't actually get the chance to see him, but, I mean, he was preparing for that moment where he would come back and pitch. And, you know, just a terrific attitude and really one of the best stories of the year, if not the best story.
When you look at the Cubs and Marcus Stroman on Monday, John, he was outstanding, a one-hit shutout of the best team in baseball. He stayed into the game. He made a great play in the ninth inning that showed his athleticism, his ability to field the position. He has been the ace of this staff. He has been great, with the exception of maybe one outing. Has he surprised you in how consistent he has been to this point of the season?
Yeah, I wouldn't say surprised. And I would like to take this time to apologize to all Cubs fans, because apparently my tweet ruined his no-hitter.
Good. You jinxed it, John. You did.
Yeah, well, I'm starting to believe it myself, because I tried to prove that I'm not a jinx by noting the Royals' perfect game at that point. And, of course, on the very next pitch, Arenado got a hit. And so I actually jinxed two no-hitters, one being a perfect game yesterday. So I feel bad about that, but at least I didn't jinx the entire performance. You know, he's got talent. I mean, there's no question about it. You know, a 2.5 ERA at this stage, a complete game against the best hitting team in baseball to this point, and he is a great fielder. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens at the deadline. I mean, he's one of those candidates to see if he'll get traded. I don't think so, because – like I said, I do feel like the Cubs are better than their record, and I don't see them as a seller. But, of course, you never know. But I can't say I'm shocked. He is a good talent.
And we have a lot of people commenting on the idea that Liam Hendricks came back to the wrong team. I wish that team was better. I wish the bullpen had a hierarchy where he would fit in and you wouldn't be worried about it. I just think he deserves better after everything he's been through than to come back to this disaster.
Right. I mean, well, I mean, nobody, he certainly didn't deserve to get the cancer.
No.
But he did mention how he said he never asked why me. You know, he asked why not me. And, you know, his attitude's fantastic. And I think it's just a great story independently. You know, it would be better if he were on a better team. But, hey, look, it is only – you know, we're still in May, right? So you never know, I guess, right? And that division does make a difference, right? There's nobody in that division that looks great right now. Cleveland has underperformed. I mean, do we really believe in Detroit? I doubt it. Obviously, Kansas City's not that good. Minnesota's been pretty good, but they're not going to run away with it, I don't think. So, you know, you never know, right? I mean, maybe. I mean, they're not out of it. There are teams that are out of it at this point. I wouldn't say the White Sox are out of it.
What team is the most surprising in terms of being out of it? Which team to you is the biggest disappointment? Because we are kind of myopic here in Chicago and focus on the fact that the White Sox and the Cubs are buried to the extent that they are.
Well, personally, the most disappointing for me is the Padres, because I picked them to win the World Series, and they have not been good at all. So that's an easy one. But there are a lot of disappointing teams. They've got some great competition for most disappointing. Phillies are very, very disappointing. The Cardinals are very disappointing. I think the Mets, well, they're 500, are disappointing. I think the Mariners are somewhat disappointing. I mean, there's a half dozen teams that are, if not shockingly bad, but at least surprisingly bad. But to me, the Padres are numero uno. To spend all that money, they've spent the most money of any team not in New York. They just picked up, you know, not even as a minor league free agent on waivers, they picked up Gary Sanchez. So they spent another $1 million, and they keep adding to it. And, you know, at this point, they've been a disaster to this point. And I know it's somewhat personal, like Mully is with the White Sox. It's a little personal because I picked them, and I feel like a fool at this moment. They've really not been good.
Jameson Taillon has been awful, and he has gone. He's had 8 starts, and they've lost every one of them, which is apparently a Cubs record. And he's just not been very good, and his stats tell you that. What did you think when that trade was made? And they're $68 million into this guy. I don't think there's an option here. I don't think there's anything you can do but try to revive him somehow. What are your thoughts on him, and what have you seen, John?
Right, yes. There is nothing you can do. I mean, he's untradeable at this point. To have a losing Cubs record already 2 months into his tenure, that's not easy to do. They've had a lot of losing in their history, so not good. I mean, I like Jameson Taillon. I think he's a solid, average major league pitcher. You know, I loved generally what they did in the winter. I really didn't get any of those deals where you gave a number 3-4 starter $17-18 million a year, and that was the going rate. I mean, Taijuan Walker, loved the guy, was in New York. Same with Taillon. Both are terrific individuals. I don't get that idea where it's now $17-18 million for a number 4 starter. I don't get it, but I'd rather pay big for the big stars, although some of those aren't working out so great either. Trey Turner has not been good. Correa has not been good. But, I personally think that going rate needs to be paid. You just can't do it. It's not worth it. But I think, you know, he's likely going to turn it around and be better. I still don't think that's a good deal.
John, how would you describe the dust-up between Anthony Rizzo and Fernando Tatis and what happened with Rizzo having to leave the game after colliding with Tatis's hip during a pickoff attempt at first base?
Well, I mean, I think it was an accident. I don't know. I mean, Tatis is already a villain everywhere, but particularly in New York, and people were pretty excited when he made the last out of the seventh inning in a rally and the last out of the game. And when he struck out, of course, he did get back with a home run, and he really enjoyed that. I mean, the guy has a great personality, but, I mean, he did cheat, so he knew he would get this. And, I think he's still a little bit rusty as a player. I do think that was an accident. Rizzo, obviously, is a very tough guy. He's been hit about 200 times by pitch and comes back and plays right away. So, I think he'll be okay, and I don't think anybody did anything on purpose. He's just trying to get back to the bag.
Michael Kopech, he's had a couple of brilliant starts, and then he comes out yesterday, and he is just struggling and had no control. He hit Ohtani, like, bad on the knee, like right below the knee. And he hit someone else. I mean, he just was all over the place. And I thought to myself, man, they need to give him an extra couple days because that seemed to work. And he had a really good outing. And he had two, actually, which were as good as anything. But then he comes back and struggles like crazy. That's a very frustrating player. That is a guy that we've kind of been waiting on for a long time. And then you see him, and every once in a while, he's brilliant, and you're kind of like, wow, that's the guy that's going to win the Cy Young one day, as we were told. I don't know what you do with him either. I think that when we start talking about trade bait and who has value, you just throw your hands up and wonder.
Yeah, he was touted certainly a couple of years ago to be a future star, as were many of these White Sox. I mean, he's kind of in a crowd there with underperformance with the White Sox. I mean, we thought Moncada was going to be a huge star. He's been basically an average player. Same with Kopech. I mean, right now, I mean, Tim Anderson's obviously been a good player for the team. He's been underperforming as well. They got a lot of guys underperforming. I do think I would wait a little bit longer with Kopech. Of course, you never know. If you wait longer and he continues to be mediocre or worse, then his value goes down. But I think you did mention how young he is. I think I would give him a little bit more time to see if he can actually develop into the star that we all thought he would be.
So, John, the other day in your New York Post notes column, you mentioned that David Stearns, the former Brewers GM, has been mentioned and rumored to be a potential candidate in Boston. We know that he's been linked to the Mets. He's done a great job in the past in Milwaukee. I wonder when his name may come up in speculation with maybe an opening in this town. And I wonder if that's possible to keep an eye on David Stearns, what he is, possibly going to be headed toward, and how good of an executive you consider him to be.
Yeah, I mean, obviously did a very good job in Milwaukee. I think he got burnt out a little bit. Obviously, that Hader trade was not very well received, not only by the fans and the clubhouse, the owner also. I understand the owner signs off on the deal, but obviously he saw the reaction and was not happy. And I think that was part of the burnout situation with Stearns. He's a very young guy. He went to Harvard. He did very well up until that trade. And they're still touting a couple of the young guys they got in that trade, including Contreras, who's their starting catcher, who they ended up getting for Ruiz, who had gotten in that trade. So I think he's a very good executive. I think he'll land somewhere. I think he loves baseball and The only two teams I've seen, heard so far in rumors are Boston or the Mets. Haven't heard Chicago team. You know, we'll see. I mean, obviously, Jerry's very loyal.
Yeah.
So not counting on that. So to this point, the only rumors are Boston or the Mets. But you never know how things could change. It is early. So we have a half dozen disappointing teams. We have, almost two-thirds of the season to get some more disappointing teams. So there could be many more rumors to come.
There is a theory that Jerry's loyalty to the people around him is actually disloyal to the fan base. I don't know who started that rumor, but there's a theory.
Did you?
Wasn't me.
I think it's great. I killed Steinbrenner for years for firing everybody and mistreating everybody and all that. So I do appreciate the fact that he is loyal. Obviously, the White Sox have had some moments, but lately it has been extremely disappointing. And I certainly understand why the fans are upset and why you're upset, and we're all kind of shocked.
Isn't there a middle ground, though, John? You don't have to be Steinbrenner to not be Jerry. You know what I mean? Just sort of normal.
I guess so. Yeah. I prefer the loyal, personally. I think
loyal to a fault,
nice.
You prefer? Because it's kind of to
nice.
A fault.
It's, yeah. Well, it's a distance for me. I mean, I guess
right.
if he was in New York, I'd have a different feeling. But from a distance, it feels warm and fuzzy that he loves all the people that have been his hardworking workers. So
let me get your opinion from someone from New York. So I asked a Twitter poll question this morning based on Marcus Stroman's performance yesterday and just the way that he pitches. He does it with flair. He leads with emotion. And, John, to me, I think he's right now, the most exciting baseball player in Chicago. I asked about Christopher Morel, Luis Robert, certainly Tim Anderson at one point in time could qualify. To you, who is the most exciting baseball player in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, at this moment, it's hard to argue. I mean, he's certainly very exciting and somewhat controversial as it upsets the other team. But as Buck Showalter said, play better if you don't like it the way he celebrates. And I think that's probably right. I mean, potentially it could be Bellinger. I mean, you know, the way he performed in L.A. in 18 and 19, 20. I mean, the guy has speed and arm, big power, needs to get it all back together and get healthy. But potentially could be Bellinger long term. But right now I think it's Stroman. And, unfortunately, like I said, potential trade candidate also has an opt out. So let's, not sure how long he's going to be there.
Well, Bellinger, I mean, you know what's weird is he that looked like a serious knee injury when he came down and his leg kind of buckled. And then they said, oh, no, he's going to be fine. He, you know, might miss a week. He might miss a few games. 5 days later, he's on the IL. And then you hear he's going to be out another couple weeks. That's like a month-long injury for a guy that was not – that, you know, didn't start out on the – injury list the minute he went down, right? And I know that's retroactive, but that's kind of weird.
Well, sometimes the prognosis is optimistic. I've been doing this a long time. I can't tell you the number of times people said the guy was day-to-day and they were out 50 days. You know, he's not alone there. I think it's part of its optimism, and then sometimes it's they want to, put a good face on things and not discuss it much, and they're hopeful. So, obviously he was hurt worse than they said originally. It's unfortunate because he is a terrific talent.
John, we'll let you go, but just nice to see you reveling in the glory of your alma mater winning the women's lacrosse championship. Nice that you gave him some Twitter love yesterday.
Yeah, I was very excited. I did win a lunch bet over my friend who went to Boston College. Although I wasn't able to watch the game because I was covering the Mets game, I did tape it and watch. I don't think I've ever done that before. Tape a women's lacrosse and watch it afterward. I was very excited about it. It was terrific. Izzy Skane, incredible lacrosse. I don't know anything about it, but she's amazing.
Yeah, I totally agree. Did you happen to watch Notre Dame win the men's lacrosse championship?
I did not. No,
I think the Chicago area, apparently now the lacrosse capital of North America.
Of course it is. Has to be something.
Right, right. We shouldn't worry about baseball. We should do a lacrosse spot from now on. I'm going to come on and talk lacrosse. It'll be much happier.
Can't wait till next week, John.
You're the best, buddy. Thank you, John.
All right. See you later.
That is John Heyman. Oh, that's awesome.
Well, he taped a lacrosse game.
That's awesome.
That's how much buzz that program has created amongst alums. And
yes.
It is a niche sport, certainly, but they have carved it out quite well there in Evanston.
Well said. 312-644-6767. I want to talk about what you do with a Mash Mervis. A texter said the first thing you do is get rid of Mash as his nickname.
And I think that's probably right.
Call him Maddening
or
Mervis.
Mush.
Mush. Wow. Because he slows down.
It's very slow swing right now.
Oh, boy. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's hard to hit in the big leagues. It's such a big change. The gap between AAA and the major leagues is real. And, I mean, it's the stuff you're facing every single night, you know, for nine innings now in today's game is so good. And it's a real adjustment. And, you know, some guys will hit the ground running for a little while. But almost inevitably, there's going to be that moment, whether it's at the very beginning or whether it's after a little bit of time, after the league adjusts to you. Everyone's going to have that moment of struggle, and it's a matter of how they get through that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That is the voice of Jed Hoyer, and he was on with Dan and Lawrence a little bit ago and talked about the Matt Mervis situation. I'm not going to call him Mash or Mush, or what does the texter want to call him? Muck?
Yeah, I don't mean. I feel bad for kind of engaging in that. You kind of drew me into that whole.
I drew you into it?
Yeah, you did.
You started the fight over this whole NASCAR thing. That's all I remember.
We'll get back to the NASCAR thing. As it pertains to Matt Mervis, you feel really bad for the young man because he is somebody that spent last year as the next great thing, right? The next big thing. And he was promoted on that great Friday. It's a magical moment. There's emotion. He's mic'd up by Marquee. Didn't have a lot to say, but he was mic'd up. And you understand, like, there's an effort here, it feels like, to make a star, to create a player. And I don't know if he's ready for that. In 62 at-bats since he was brought up 18 mm-hmm. games ago, he has struck out 23 times. That's too many. And you do worry about the bat speed. You do worry about him being overmatched. And you do worry about him not being able to adjust to the adjustments. So I don't know what the best plan is for him, Molly. But if you have a season that you don't feel like you're going to contend, maybe you play it out and see what you got.
Tonight, the Cubs continue their series against the Rays. The pregame begins at 6:30. The first pitch at 7:05 here on The Score and the Xfinity Cubs Radio Network. And one of the great things that happens is Zach comes on and tells you kind of the story of the day and where you're at and what you need. And he was very right about what they needed from the starting pitcher, Marcus Stroman, yesterday. The Stro Show is exactly what you needed, and it came through. And again, you know, you got to figure out a way to score runs. So you have a guy like Mervis come up, and he struggled. He has struggled. There's not a shadow of a doubt about it. I don't know that he is a 4A player, that he needs something. But I don't know who you use instead of him.
I don't know that you can really experiment at this stage of the season. You just DFA'd Eric Hosmer.
That's right.
Who might be headed to the Phillies. Did I see that? Possibly. Doesn't really matter for the Cubs. But you have Trey Mancini as an option. I don't know that you have anyone else that makes sense. You could try Patrick Wisdom there if you want to make room for Christopher Morel. That could be an option. But with Cody Bellinger out of the lineup indefinitely now, it seems, you're not exactly trying to mix and match as much as you thought you would have to get Morel in the lineup. Keep him in the lineup, by the way, David Ross. I know David Ross is on the program later at 1 o'clock. Good idea. Keep Christopher Morel in the lineup. You don't have other run-producing options that are better than him. And so I'm not – how do you feel about Mervis the rest of this year? You mentioned earlier that, you know, we're going to talk about what the best thing is for him. What do you think the best thing is for him?
Yeah, I think that you kind of stay with him for as long as you can. At some point, you're going to have to stop it. And at some point, you're going to have to send him back down and see if he can improve, unless this happens pretty quickly. And I'm talking the next couple weeks. You just can't afford to go on in this fashion. But hopefully something clicks, and hopefully they're working with him all the time. The guy is a talented player. We were waiting on him for a while, and there was this kind of lack of understanding as to why it was taking so long. But I don't know that you can afford to stick with it and keep your head down and hope it changes, because you need more. It's that simple.
You wonder how this is going to play out, because if he doesn't develop the way that they expected him to develop this season, what did they do in the offseason? What do they do in terms of seeking a run producer at that position, in that spot? You don't bring up Matt Mervis to bat him eighth or ninth, and he's batted eighth and ninth. You don't envision that when you talk about the rush to bring him to the majors. You think you're going to get a middle-of-the-order run producer. Remember the debate when he first came up that one day where Dustin wanted him batting fourth and playing first base every single day? And I said, well, I'm going to start him at seventh, but then move him up eventually. I didn't really envision him 18 games in being penciled into the eighth and the ninth spot on a regular basis. I thought by now we would have seen a little bit more of a glimpse, but maybe he'll adjust, and maybe that's what will happen. This is a tough challenge with the Rays in town, and the schedule doesn't get much softer after that, but they need to manufacture some runs. They were fortunate yesterday that Marcus Stroman was as masterful as he was. Not every day are you going to get somebody on the mound who's going to have 20
exactly.
swinging strikes
exactly
against
that's
the best
exactly
team in baseball.
It. That's the problem. It's hard for me because I really like Matt Mervis. We had him on the program. It's a great story, and you want the best for him. But you're absolutely right. You just have to understand where you're at in the season. I don't know how much more they can give him, David. I mean, like I said, I would hope it would be a couple more weeks minimum just to give him a chance. But frankly, this experiment could stop at any point.
My sense is that they likely, regardless of the rhetoric, they likely will wait until the All-Star break to figure out what they have and reassess at that point. That will be also when, you know, as we heard from Rick Hahn, when teams typically decide what direction they're headed. And we'll know, the Cubs will tell us, and if they're dropping some pretty heavy hints lately, but in terms of the way that they're playing and how often they're losing. But at the All-Star break, we might get a better sense. Until that point, I do think they're going to have to maybe see what they have and keep him, you know, give him every opportunity to break out of this slump, because he might be pressing, and it might be a case of, well, once he relaxes, maybe the bat will pick up and the bat speed will increase. I don't know what the answers are, but they're in a position where I suppose they can, this is the kind of season where they can give him a chance to, you know, take advantage of an opportunity or not. And if they doesn't, then they have to move on or come up with another solution.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for him. I hope that he gets it together. I really do. And I think, David, that might be too long, frankly, waiting.
The All-Star break?
That's just a while away.
It's another month. Could be a long month. We're not even into June yet.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right. I don't know who fits that spot. I think the White Sox have about seven guys that could play first base, but not very well.
How surprised were you that when they made the move over the weekend, one of the corresponding moves was Nick Madrigal being sent to Iowa?
Yeah.
Did that surprise you? I don't know that. It only maybe caught me a little off guard because Edwin Rios is still there. And he was in the lineup yesterday. And Madrigal is somebody who, despite his limitations, has played a lot. And he played third base, and he did that willingly. And he's been a guy that, you know, he sort of symbolizes disappointment for both sides of town. But I guess he has options remaining. So I guess I was a little surprised that he would go down at that point in time. You look at their lineup, and I still think they have a lot of faith and Mastroboni. I guess that's the one thing I still get a little triggered by.
Boy, they love him.
They do.
They really do.
He let off.
I know. That was super weird.
He's hitting like a .190.
But what Ross said, and I don't know if we have the cut or not, but the way he said it, he explained that they were looking for guys with plate discipline, and then with Diaz, they wanted power. And they thought, apparently, that they would get that from him as opposed to wisdom because of the you know, stats, whatever, the analytics, whatever. It felt like they threw names in a hat, frankly, but apparently that's not what was happening.
Am I overstating the Marcus Stroman being one of the most exciting players in town, or maybe the most exciting player this season? I know it's a very diluted field because it hasn't been a lot of excitement in Chicago baseball this year. But I like the way that he was chirping at the Mets, and I don't typically go for that kind of stuff. I like the way that he had fun yesterday with the comebacker, and he flipped the ball in the air as a nod to Wander Franco, and he was, you know, throwing the guy out at first. I like the way that he embraces the moment when the crowd is on its feet and he pounds his chest or whatever the case would be. He's an exciting player. And typically you don't find pitchers that exciting. Typically it's the other way. Like they're going to, you know, cool it off unless they're the reliever, unless it's like a fired ninth inning guy, but he's a starter that to me is the most exciting player in town right now.
I'm not going to argue it because of his last couple starts. I think at one point we thought Justin Steele was the number one player in town. At one point, yeah, there's a lot of different guys that have filled that spot, however briefly. I think it's one of these deals where you're going to look at it at the end of the year and determine it. I think it keeps changing. And I think it's also really difficult to sustain the performance that you can get from someone. I thought he was brilliant yesterday. I thought that's as good as I've seen the guy. And I felt, as you talked about, that he was feeding off the crowd in a way that I haven't seen since Javi Baez was here. He just really seemed to love the Stro show loves the whole show element, right?
He does.
He really.
He's also.
It's great to see. And it's helping him.
He is openly grateful for the opportunity to pitch at Wrigley Field. This guy went to social media. I think he tweeted out within 20 minutes of his last pitch, he was thanking the crowd and talking about on his Twitter feed the magical experience that it was that we threw a one-hit shutout. Everyone was privileged to watch it, but he sounded like he was, you know, thankful for letting you know, for the crowds rolling it. This is a guy that I think we need to hear more from in Chicago. I don't know, not that he seems like a guy that has a lot to say, and he certainly has encountered his share of controversy throughout his career for maybe being willing to do that. But right now, he's on the kind of a role that you want to just cherish if you're a fan of the Cubs and also Marcus Stroman. And he's the ace of the staff, an all-star caliber season. And I think that everything that he's doing is very easy to get behind. Exciting guy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he was just spectacular yesterday for sure. But, you know, frankly, I thought that Michael Kopech was spectacular two starts ago, three starts ago, whatever it was. But he didn't sustain it. He did it for two games, but yesterday was, you know, need an extra day, right? Isn't that what it is?
Two I days suppose it's two like on, one off.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. 312-644-6767. We got to talk about the NBA. There's a lot going on in the NBA, and it's not just the setup of the finals, but we got to get to that a little bit next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
And the last team to make it into the Eastern Conference playoffs, they lost only after they had won three straight games to start this series. So it was a game seven. They stand eye to eye with history, and they did not blink. The Heat are going to the NBA Finals. What a win on the road. Third win in this series for the Heat in Miami. It'll be the Heat and the Western Conference champion Denver Nuggets.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. Unbelievable Boston didn't turn up for Game 7, and we've talked about what potentially could happen with Joe Mazzulla. Again, there's a guy in his first year that gets the team he's coaching to the Eastern Conference Finals Game 7, but guess what? They lose, and nobody pleased about it. And you can't fire all the players, as we've talked about. So
nor
here's
should
what you.
You
get. Yeah.
Jason Tatum was injured. His ankle wasn't 100%. That factored into maybe his poor play. But I don't think that you look at what the Celtics didn't do and conclude, well, that's a roster that needs reconstructed. I think you look at what the Celtics didn't do and you think, that's a roster in need of a head coach with experience. They were 9-for-42 from three-point land. When you have 9-for-42, at some point in time, the coach has got to intercede and come up with a better plan or a way to attack the Heat defense without settling for threes and chucking them up with 10 seconds, 15 seconds left in the shot clock. They were taking some bad shots. I think that whole series was an example of an experienced coach versus an inexperienced coach. And there's a lot more to it maybe, but you start there. And you start there because, Mully, the other thing, part of this conversation we're going to get to, the coaches who are available that can make an impact on your organization because of what you have on your roster maybe compels you to make a move you might be unwilling to make otherwise.
Yeah, it's interesting because there are tons of coaches available. And we've seen a couple of hires. We mentioned that Nick Nurse is now going to be the head coach in Philadelphia, replacing Doc Rivers. So you go from the Doc to the Nurse, and everybody can have a laugh about it, but it's exactly what has happened here.
Well, it's all a process, and the recovery process, if you will, from the Doc Rivers experience, which I don't think was as bad as maybe people are making it out to be. He lost his job because why?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Does
question.
Anybody really understand that?
I don't.
They
get
tired
frankly.
Of each other. Daryl yeah. Morey wants to hire Nick Nurse.
Daryl Morey worked with Nick Nurse in Houston when Nurse was an assistant, and And you know what's also wild is the Bucks made a hire. So they hired Adrian Griffin, who, of course, former Bulls assistant.
Really good guy. And
worked with Nurse in Toronto.
He was his assistant in Toronto. Yes. He has that kind of experience. He's an easy guy to root for.
Yes.
He's a very solid hire for the Bucks. Surprising a little bit because
totally
no head coaching experience. And with all of the qualified coaches available, for them to hire somebody without any experience speaks to how highly regarded he is in NBA circles. That said, yeah, it's a little bit of a surprise. It's a game of musical chairs. Mm-hmm. You wonder, the Suns apparently were in a bidding war with the Sixers for Nick Nurse.
Yeah. They had won the bidding war to get their coach. They won him over the Lakers before they fired him, Monty Williams. And then they lost this coaching battle. And I think they lost because Nurse, as much as he wanted, you know, remain a head coach, I think his relationship with Morey might have been the difference.
That might have been the difference. It also makes you wonder if the reports are true that he chose the Sixers and he had a chance to look at the Bucks job. And so is he choosing the opportunity to win with Joel Embiid a greater chance at a championship than to win with Giannis? I don't know if that's a smart choice, given the rosters, given where the franchises are. The Sixers seems like there are more things that could get in the way of them getting to the NBA Finals and winning a championship than there are in Milwaukee with Giannis and that roster and that supporting cast, if you will. You have Joel Embiid, and he is the MVP, and there's greatness that you're basically figuring out a way to get the most out of. But still, I look at the Bucks and the Sixers. If I had to choose between those two things, those two jobs, Milwaukee would be the answer, wouldn't it?
I guess. I
that's what surprised me about this.
I think the fact that they dumped their coach who won a championship with them, and now here's a guy that won a championship who's getting dumped by a team, and they went 41-41 and they lost in the play-in, as we all remember. So I don't know that would be as appealing. I think you got to look at these teams and wonder what the hell they're doing.
You do.
And why they're doing it.
It's the NBA. What's going on?
Yeah. I think
something.
It's a big uncertainty.
Now you've got the Suns with an opening still.
Yes.
And you've got three very qualified guys available. They're not going to hire Monty Williams, who is still available. But you have Mike Budenholzer and you have Doc Rivers.
Right.
Are they going to hire one of those two?
They actually interviewed, what's his name, the soccer player. His dad was a soccer player, the guy from South Africa via Canada. Can't remember his name. I blocked it out because I had to watch him covering the Champions League one year, and it just ruined it for me. As simple as that, Steve Nash.
I knew.
He actually interviewed there.
I think it's hilarious that you don't like him based on soccer.
I know, but I mean.
You've disqualified him from anything. I would disqualify him based on his experience with the Nets.
Well,
that would be enough for me.
That's what I'm saying.
I do not have to disparage his soccer past.
Did he do well enough in Brooklyn that you're going to bring him in? Did that work? But whatever. They like him. They talk to him.
Well, because of what he meant to that franchise.
Yeah.
They're going to overlook some of the flaws because of what he was to the Suns as a player.
You think Kevin Durant said, hey, I really want to get together with this dude?
I think Kevin Durant might have said, hey, hire him so I can continue to do whatever I want. Because that worked for me before. And, you know, Kevin Durant is who he is at this stage. What's a coach going to do for him?
Hire him so you can trade me.
Exactly.
I'm just being mean-spirited. I apologize.
I'm curious to know what Boston does. I want to know what direction they're headed, because they would have been better off losing in game 6 that they won with the buzzer beater than going home and being embarrassed in game 7 and what that said about their coaching situation.
Nick Nurse is like a really good defensive coach.
Yeah.
So bringing him to coach Joel Embiid and are they bringing back James Harden? It seems like he's
doesn't seem tight. Like that's a good fit.
Doesn't seem like a good fit.
Defensive-minded head coach. You're going to bring back James Harden.
And do what?
Are they going to bring all of those tall, long, defensive-minded bigs from Toronto to Philly? Because that is as much of why Nick Nurse was good in Toronto as anything. He had mixing and matching up possibilities with a roster that was, you know, just just seemed like they could rebound and defend, and that's all that that's what they did best.
We have a texter saying, I don't like Mully mostly because of his soccer. That's pretty mean.
That's mean. That's Come on, people.
It's pretty good.
Be nice.
You know, hey, United won over the week. I don't know if you saw it. The season ended, and United finished third, which is means Champions League next year. That's awesome. And thank God, please hire someone. Hire Steve Nash so he doesn't ruin those broadcasts for me. If
is he a candidate? He lines
up, I hope not. But, yeah, so that's good news. And they're in the FA Cup this weekend. They're probably going to get destroyed by City, but let's not talk about that. All right, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.